5 minutes. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the miracles we heard this morning, Father. Thank you for the miracles that are being brought about, Lord God. Even as we worship and as we dedicate babies and as we send kids down, Lord, I thank you that you're not disturbed by noise and movement, Lord. I thank you don't go, I have to wait till it's quiet before I move. I just thank you, Lord, that you do it all, Lord, because there's nothing that can hinder you, Father. And we say, increase it, Lord. Increase it for your glory. And we promise, Jesus, that we will bring all the glory to you. We don't want it ourselves, Lord. If we ever want it, just make sure, Lord, you tell us so that we get right again. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. And I want to explain to you like what I'm doing with this Luke chapter 10. I'm calling it Expression 10. Because I don't want to just call it a sermon because it's not. I'm actually training us over these next weeks in how to express and see the kingdom of God expressed in wherever we are. See, the kingdom of God is not only expressed in church. The kingdom of God is supposed to be expressed everywhere we find ourselves. That is the goal of God. That someone says to me one time, just recently, Noel, it's not about buildings. I want to tell you it is about buildings. I want to just nail my colours. It is about buildings. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. The Bible says that you are a building. You are the temple of God. You carry the presence. You carry the potential to change everything around you just because of who you are and who lives in you. So if someone says it's not all about buildings, it is about buildings. Someone says it's not about numbers, it is about numbers. I want my brothers and sisters to be part of the numbers that is in here. I want my neighbours and my people in my city to be part of the numbers. So when someone says it's not about numbers, I don't believe that. It is about numbers. Jesus is about numbers. His word says that he wants all to come to know him. Every single man, woman and child of us, he wants them to come to know him. That's about numbers, isn't it? Someone says it's not about events. It is about events. You are a walking, talking, living event. You are. The sounds of God that comes out of you. There's lights of God that comes out of you. And when we realize this, well, then we can confidently go into a room and you can say, hey, I'm here. I'm in the house. When you hear this sound, there's hope. When you hear this sound, there's peace to be found. When you hear this sound, there's freedom. There's liberty. Everyone else is saying the opposite, and yet you can be the event that says, no, there is hope, and I think that's wonderful. And don't you dare sit there and disagree with what the Word of God says when I talk about this stuff. It doesn't matter what you feel, you're still it. It doesn't matter what you've done yesterday, you're still that temple. You're still it. It doesn't matter what your past has been, you are still it. You don't sit there and go, oh, I'm just a poor Irish man with a poor background, and you wouldn't know where I got up to, and you didn't. And look at. If you're under the blood, it's gone. As far as God's concerned, he'll heal all the stuff. But he doesn't go, no, wait till all that happens and then you're an event. I just think that's wonderful. I really do. And if you don't catch that good news, pinch yourself. You're dead. Because you are it. Someone says, what's God's plan for the world? We are. We're God's plan for the world, the church. The church is God's plan where the kingdom is expressed through the church. We're it. You go, well, he's it. No, you're it. You big, great, beautiful looking thing, you. It's you. It's you. It's amazing that it's you. Just tell yourself, it's me. Look in the mirror today and go, it's me. Oh, I just thought it was all them holy looking people. No, it's me. I thought it was the one with garbs and knew how to do certain things. No, it is me. Look yourself in the mirror today and go, have a guess, world. It's me. Tell yourself it. Based on what he says. Declare it over yourself based on what God says. And this whole expression 10 is about equipping us to understand this and actually go out and live this. Luke chapter 10, it says, after this. So you always have to read what was after this. What was that saying? Jesus had talked about what it is to be a follower. And then he says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking, whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wage. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and you are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. When you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust that sticks to our feet, we wipe them off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than there is for this place. And he goes on to say, it says, when they came back, the 72 returned with joy. And the Lord said to the Lord, even demons submitted to us in your name. Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, Father, I praise you. The goal of Expression 10 is to bring joy to Jesus. The goal of all of this is to bring joy to Jesus and praise to God the Father. And the end result, I'm telling you the end before we go to the beginning again. But in the end of it, Jesus says, listen, when you were out there doing the kingdom business, I saw Satan, boom, hit the deck. I saw the strongholds that the enemy had over towns come down like lightning. Build up of liars and strongholds of the sea and all of the kingdom of darkness. He said, I seen it fall like lightning when you were out there. So the goals of all of this is to bring joy to the Father. It's to bring joy to Jesus, praise to the Father, and to see the kingdom of darkness falling. Isn't that what we want to see? Because when the kingdom of darkness falls, the captives go free. The captors have to be dealt with before the captors can go free. And Jesus says, I am sending you out. I'm sending you out into this world like lambs among wolves. And it's amazing, in God's kingdom, lambs are stronger than wolves. It's really incredible that he doesn't say, I'm sending you out like big lions against the wolves. He goes, I'm sending you out like lambs. In God's kingdom, lambs are stronger than wolves. You go out like lambos. You remember that one? You go out like lambo into the wolves. Hey man, I thought it was good. And last week I started that we are sent out. We're sent into this world to bring the kingdom of God. And we talked about last week about that we're sent as ambassadors. Ambassadors are representatives of the one who they represent. So if the ambassador of America came here, they don't just represent themselves. In fact, they represent all that America is. They have all the might, all of the resources of America. When you talk to an American ambassador, you're not just talking to this man because he's not there to give his opinion. He's there to give the policy of his country. So therefore, if you ever talk to an ambassador, you're not just talking to him, you're talking to the whole nation that is behind him. Equally, if you come against that ambassador, you're not just coming against the ambassador, you're coming against his whole nation. And I think it's a wonderful thing, because sometimes as Christians, we think we're on our own, and we get attacked by different things and spiritual things, and we go, oh look, I can't handle this. But we need to realize, now I'm an ambassador sent from another world. See, I live in this world, but I've been born again from another world. So I come representing everything that the kingdom of God is. And if someone comes against me, that's what Jesus said to them as they were going out. He says, listen, if they reject you, remember, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. Because you represent me. So if someone rejects you, don't take it personal. He says, they're rejecting me. That's how we went after the Apostle Paul. And he says, Paul, you're persecuting me. Paul's like, no, I was always persecuting Stephen and all. Remember, he stood there watching Stephen getting killed. Jesus says, no, what you've done to him, you've done to me. It's incredible. That's why we shouldn't gossip about each other or any of that stuff. We should talk about him. Talk about his body. So we're sent to establish and implement his invisible, superior kingdom and the super kingdom that's of the invisible world into this natural world. We're sent out as powerful people, ambassadors. Listen to what Philippians says. Our citizenship is in heaven. Paul says in Corinthians that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. So Paul says, I implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled. If you don't know God, if you don't know his power and his love to set you free and to give you a new life, I plead on God's behalf to you to say, come and be reconciled back to him, because he has something incredible for you. And here's a few things about ambassadors. The ambassadors are appointed by the king or the president that is sending them. So it's not like you get voted in. The king says, I want you to represent me. And you that work with young people, I want you to go and represent me there. And you that meet with old folk, I want you. And you that go out and talk to the homeless. And you that go out and talk to the desperate. And you that go to the business world, I want you to go out. I'm appointing you. You're not voted in based on your looks or your popularity. You're picked by the king of all kings. You're picked by the king of the universe. He goes, I want you. That's why I kept saying it's you. You know, Jesus goes at you and you go, I think he's talking to you. No, but he's talking really to you. And you're appointed to represent the kingdom. You're not just there to represent your own religious views. You're there to represent the kingdom of God. If you want to know how the kingdom and the constitution of the kingdom of God, I tell you where to start. Start in Matthew and you start reading how the kingdom people operate. Forgive your enemies. Love your enemies. There's a good start to a constitution. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to the poor. You're there representing him. You're there as committed to the state's interest that sends you. You're there as someone who embodies the kingdom that sends you. And you're totally covered by the kingdom that sends you. And you're totally, your responsibility is to that kingdom that has sent you. You're also protected by the kingdom that has sent you. And the only one that can recall you is the president or the king. You can't get voted out of that country. You can't get... The only one that can recall you is the one who actually sends you. So even if people don't like you, they haven't sent you. Even if people don't get you, it's all right, they haven't sent you. It's only when the king... Only when the king calls you back do you come back. And the Lord has been sending people out from the beginning. I looked through my Bible, thought about some people that God sent. He sent Abraham to another country. He sent Joshua. He sent Moses into Egypt to establish what God's purposes for the people were. He sent Joshua to take the promised land. Joseph into Egypt to preserve a nation. He sent Jonah to Nineveh to preach to a city and to save a city. He sent David to Goliath. Do you remember? He sent Nehemiah to build up the walls. He sent the angels to make sure Daniel was all right in the lion's den. He sent the lepers to see the miracle of God in the enemy's camp. He sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for him. He sent out the 12 and the 72 to release the kingdom. He sent his only begotten son into this world because he loved you and me so much. And he says that if we believe in him who he sent, his son, well then we become a son or a daughter of the king. And then in turn the king sends us out as sons and daughters. Because we're not sent out as subjects. We're sent out as family of God. We're not sent out as someone that just has an order. We're sent out as somebody who has a commitment to the Father's business. He sent, then Jesus, according to the scriptures, he sent out radical, shocking, holy saints into this world to turn this world upside down. And he's still sending the church, he's still sending us, the radical, holy saints, into this world to show people that don't know God what God is really, really like. That we to go to the pauper and the prostitute and the prince and the politician and the businessman and the up and out and the down and out and tell them that we're here representing the king. And when we step out, as you see in expression 10 and Luke 10, when you step out in the kingdom is expressed through you. Absolutely incredible. These are the days he's sending us out. I heard a man say yesterday, and some will get this, when he says, when Egypt has a problem, every time you read about Egypt, it's like they're the systems of this world that want to be their own gods. And every time Egypt has a problem, and believe me, Egypt has a problem right now. Our world has a problem right now. It's in chaos. The institutions that have held her up is in chaos. You go, the scientific world are told that they have an answer for everything. It's in chaos. The financial institutions are in chaos. The political institutions are in chaos. But when Egypt has a problem, it's the people of God's opportunity. Every time Egypt has a problem, it's their opportunity. I think that was good. And an opportunity is only an opportunity as long as we take the opportunity. If not, it's just an opportunity that's never been taken. And Jesus is sending us out into this world to say, you have a problem, we have an answer for you. You've no peace, we have peace. You want to know how to get peace? Let me introduce you to the King, to the Prince of Peace. It's our opportunity. We are sent into this mess of a world. It's an incredible world. People are dying of obesity, and there's people dying of starvation. There's people who are suffering from the loneliness of poverty, and others aching from the loneliness of wealth. Too often, Christians, we've offered people life after death, while the world is really asking, is there really life before death? We offer life after death, but Jesus came to give us life here, now, on earth. We are convinced, and we have to be convinced, that he's not just come to prepare us to die, but he wants to come to teach us how to live now. That eternal life doesn't start when we die. I'm living in eternal life. My life began when I was a certain age, when I was born. But my new life began when I was 22. And from 22 on, I've been living out of a life that's eternal. I'm not been living from this world. This will go. But no, it won't. Because I'm in there. Hello? I'm in there. The real me, this is just my tent, my temple. This is just the event. This is just the building that carries me around. And for too long, we've like, oh, it'll be all right when we die. God wants us to learn how to live now. He has shown us the narrow way of life. And the good news is, for all of us who are groaning in the ghettos of poverty and the ghettos of wealth, is that he has come for us to be sent into this world so that we could be like midwives of another world. That we could be like the midwives that bring the birth of the kingdom of God onto this earth. We've been made for something bigger than ourselves. This thing is the kingdom of God. This is God's dream, that the kingdom, Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. His passion is to release what's in heaven on earth. And who is he going to release that through? Is us. And everyone that calls on his name. The kingdom is the realm where the first is the last, and the last is the first. Where the poor are blessed and the peacemakers are called the children of God. The whole Christian thing is not just about going to heaven after we die, but it's about bringing heaven to earth while we're here. Some church, in the church worldwide, there's a mentality is, we're waiting on a big train to come, the soul train to heaven. Is that what's that Dylan song? Slow train to heaven. We're waiting on a slow train to get us to heaven. And we're going to jump on that train and we're going to get the hell out of here. But the kingdom is, there's a train coming from heaven and we're all on board on it. And we start jumping off the train and going to the places where we're saying where the kingdom of hell is. We're saying, get hell out of here. Get hell out of our families and our communities. That we're not just waiting on some slow train. Come and get me, Jesus. I'm sitting here all alone, Jesus, come and get me. He's not coming for that. He sings, he's not come to do that. He's sent a train that we're all jumping off and saying, you're sick, honey? You're not sick? Okay. Amen. Well, I want to step out in faith and pray for you. Amazing, this kingdom. This gospel is a gospel that comforts the disturbed and disturbs the comfortable. This gospel is the means of a revolution. A revolution that sets the oppressed free and the oppressor free. It's a revolution of the ordinary. A revolution that dances and laughs. It's a revolution that aches with the world. It's a revolution not just for the saints and the prophets and the celebrities in Christendom, but it's a revolution of ordinary, radical, shocking, holy saints. That whoever takes a hold of the new way of living and does not conform to the pattern of this world anymore, live in the new things of God and bring new things. I pray, God, give us a fresh imagination so that we can live and see the life that you've already have for us. Yet the world may call us crazy, but I want to tell you, we may be crazy, but we're just not crazy in the way that the world is crazy. Because the world is crazy. And we may be crazy, but we're crazy in the right way. We're crazy doing the right things. This gospel is the gospel to the hurt and to the broken. Jesus says, Jesus, you don't have to be poor to be broken. I met too many rich that are poorer than anyone else I've met. I should have said I've met too many wealthy people, because being wealthy and being rich are two different things. I'm a rich man. That's not based on wealth of this world. And you're rich, it's just not based on the wealth of this world. But this gospel is for the broken, and it is for the hurting. And it flies in the face of much of the prosperity preaching that has come to mark Christianity in the West. This gospel is the gospel of a baby refugee who was born in the middle of genocide, who wandered this world with no place to lay his head, who was jailed, tortured, crucified on a cross in the empire that he lived. And I say this today, may the sounds of this Jesus of Nazareth, may the sounds of heaven bring each one of us closer to know this baby refugee who left heaven and came to earth and died for you and me. I pray that we encounter the Jesus who did not just come as a missionary to the poor or to a charitable organization, but who came and suffered, who came as a troublemaker of holy and a creator of holy mischief. He came as a king with a towel in his hand and played in the dirt with kids and wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty with the prostitutes. It's this Jesus who bids us, dares us to come and follow him. It's this Jesus who sends you into this world with the words, I will always be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. So what you can sit, you can dance, you can shout, but whatever you do, listen to the one who tells you. If you really want to find your life, give it away. Listen to the one, the still small voice in the midst of all the craziness and the clamor of this world. Well, listen to the one that whispers, and he whispers this, the best thing to do with the best things of this world is to give them away. The best thing to do with the best things of this world is to give it away, and you'll never lack anything. Shane Claiborne said this, as we read the newspapers in one hand and the Bible in the other, we cannot help but ask ourselves, have we really begun to live as Christians? Have we really begun to impact our world? Let us begin afresh today. Let us every week in this place get sent out afresh to be a reminder that this building would be a reminder that what we have to do in our world. I pray that Jesus gives us the strength to live the things that we preach and sing about, and gives us the grace with ourselves and with others when we fall short of who we're supposed to really be. And last week I sent us out as ambassadors, ones who have the power of the kingdom. And I'll take 3 minutes to tell you that we're not only ambassadors, but we're lovers. See, the kingdom is about ambassadors and lovers. That, like, I was thinking this, I was talking with a girl a couple of weeks ago from the church, and she said, Jesus came and touched my heart and I fell in love with him. It blew me away. I thought back about those 22 years ago when I became a Christian. I didn't become a Christian. I have to correct myself. I didn't get converted. I didn't even just get saved. I fell in love with Jesus. I fell head over heels in love with him. I was asked, does not everyone come into Christianity that way? And the reality is we don't all come in. But you know what Jesus' goal is to touch my heart and your heart, that you fall in love with him. And I was thinking about this lovers thing. I tell you, give us 5 minutes, will you? I'll ask him for your permission. Okay, Sharon wants to hear this. When I fell in love with Sharon, right? She was about 7 years of age, right? And she was over in the swings just at the old folks in Dalton's barn. And she was getting pushed by her uncle on the swing. And I'm sitting on the slide. She had a little flowery dress, little glasses, long hair. And I fell in love. And I have to ask myself, did I really fall in love with her? But I certainly, she made a mark in my life. And I go, look at that little girl. Look at her getting pushed on the swing. Look at her little dress. Look at her little hair. Look at her little glasses. And look at the bar of Cadbury's chocolate in her hand. This is true. Cher, is this true? She had a lovely bar. I never got chocolate. Like, we got chocolate. We got biscuits at Christmas. Queuing up, Mac, and I have two. Thanks, Ma. That was our world. 14 kids. Like, one box of those USA biscuits was gone in an instant. And they were the ones that we asked for, not about the ones we blagged over. Anyway. She made a mark. I know, when I was 14, we fell in love for real. Well, I don't want to tell you, all my mates, I didn't want to be near them. You said, go on. I know you didn't know this. My mate's going, you going out to play football? No, I'm not. I'm in love. I just wanted to be with this girl. I just wanted to hear what she had to say. I just wanted to know what her world was about. I just wanted her approval more than anyone else's. Some million people would say you were good at this, but when she says it, I said it, and when she still says it, it means more than anyone else to me in my world. I fell in love. I didn't want any other lovers. I didn't want any other people in my world because I'd fallen in love. And when I became a Christian, that was the exact feelings I had with Jesus. I don't want any other gods. I don't want any other idols. I want him. My mates were saying, no, you're coming out, we have a £10 deal, we go up to the field and have a smoke. I don't want smoke, I have Jesus. You're coming out and we do this, coming out drinking, I don't want it. Can you not drink anymore? I don't want it. If it robs me of him, I don't want it. Of course you can do it. Of course you can do it. You have a choice what you do within this world. But I'm like, I fell in love. It was like someone saying, do you want a bit of a bone? And someone over here had a steak. Yeah, Roy, see us. You're gone mad, yet I'm mad in love. See, when I was reading my Bible, I wasn't really reading a religious book. I was reading about the one I was in love with. It was, you know, when I was sinning, and I knew when I realized that hurts him, I don't want to hurt the one I love. That's not love, that you deliberately hurt people that you say you're in love with. I said, Jesus, I never want to sin again. Not that I never have sinned again, but I never wanted to sin again. Because I knew I hurted him. See, when he said, give that up, no problem. Someone says, how did you all get set free at that time? Because we were in love. It's easier to give, stop doing something. See, if you come in religious and you're ticking all the boxes and doing your duty, that's hard work. If you have to love your woman because she makes you love you, love her, that's hard work. Isn't it? Or I have to love her, she's now crank. I'll get some flowers for her. That's not love. That's appeasement. That's like keeping the peace for peace sake. Or I better walk in slowly, grumpy as up. I can't go in with a pair of high heels because he thinks I'm after someone else. Come on, guys. When I was in love, I got the links out. I was the hair slicked back. It was like in the side split back then over to the side. Because I wanted to, when she seen me, I wanted to look my best. And so when Jesus says, will you stop doing that? It wasn't hard. Because I had someone else. It was easier to pray because I was talking to the one I loved. It was easier when you're in love, it's easier. An old man that I met on the street with the Stew Crew, Reggie, 70 years of age, he says, remember that, Brian? He goes, Pastor, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. Homeless man on the streets. He says, you can have all of this trappings. But he says, give me Jesus. How am I guess he was in love with Jesus? And you know what he says? We joined our hands. Remember when he started leading us in songs? He was in love. It's easier to sing worship songs than you're in love. The Bible's all about love. Lovers produce more. Lovers are greater than workers. Workers clock in and clock out. Lovers go, well, I'm doing it because I love them. Where do you want me to go in the world? Yeah, I'm going because I love you, Lord. And you start feeling what he feels. You go, no, like my lover likes that, so I like this. My lover loves those people, so I love those people. It's easier. It's easier. And if you're not there, it's okay. He wants to touch your heart to bring you there. He wants to sweep you off your feet, take you in his arms, and bring you to his place where he shows you who he really, really is. That's what Paul prayed for us this morning. Open our eyes so that we can see you and know you better and know who we're in love with. He's not there waiting for you to come in. She's been out all night. Who has she been talking? He's not that type of a lover. If you're gone missing, he waits. He doesn't wait, he goes after you. He says, come on, I want to bring you back home. Just read one of them prophets, I can't think of his name. Who went after his wife? She went back away, Hosea. She went missing twice, and he goes after her. And he brings her back home. She goes out again. She comes back with another kid, belonged to another man. And he brings her back again because it was God showing a picture. I love you. I don't care where you find yourself. I want to take you back because I love you. Corinthians is all about love. Louise prayed for us upstairs. Corinthians is like the greatest of these is love. That everything else will pass away, but the love between God and I won't pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his love won't pass away. Love is, we are sent into this world with power, but the power is motivated by love. And Corinthians says, if you haven't got that, you have nothing. That's what Corinthians says. He says, I'll prophesy, but if there's not done with love, you're just a clanging old cymbal. He says, you can have it all. And here's the beauty of it. Romans 5:5, my favorite scripture. The hope does not disappoint us, because he's poured out his love into our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit. So don't go, I have to find and build up this religious thing to get his love. See, the train has already come. We just have to get on board the love train. Love is in the air, believe me. I can feel it in my fingers. I can feel it in my bones. I mean, it's all over the place. It's there. And you might go, you know what? A woman said to me last week, I can't tell Jesus I love him. I can't tell him. And you know, it's probably a fair representative of some people here. I don't know him that well to say I love you. Like, we're sort of courting. I like him. I like the feeling when he's around. But he wants to be closer than your skin. He wants to show you who he truly, truly is. He doesn't want you sitting on the edge watching everyone else in love. He wants to sweep you off your lovely feet and bring you into a place. And if you seize him in that, if you go, I want that. I want that. I'm not here because I'm a pastor. I'm here because I love Jesus. Every year I say to Jesus, Jesus, you're enough. If all of this, whatever this is, if it's all gone, if the titles were gone, if the church was gone, I say, Jesus, you're still enough for me. Every year I nail my love colors to the mast and say, Jesus, you're still enough. If it was all gone, I hope on truth in my heart if it ever happens. But I tell you, every year I make sure I make a declaration. Jesus, you're all that I need and all that I really want, and everything else is a bonus and added on. But if all the bonuses and the added on was gone, you are more than enough for me. Because before we have anything, before I ever had anything, I had him. And he was enough.